For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Dave Mistich. At a Sunday afternoon press conference, Governor Tomlin said there is light at the end of the tunnel as he was joined by other state officials and West Virginia American Water President Jeff McIntyre. McIntyre indicated that water will be returned soon to those affected and testing of water samples were headed in the right direction. The company is setting up a website and automated phone calls to let residents know when their designated zone is approved for the flushing process. Governor Tomlin is now at the podium at the state capitol. We'll send you live there.
I want to thank you all for being patient with us throughout the last several days. Not only do I want to thank everyone, those here today and our viewers at home for being patient, I want to thank everyone who has helped to get us to this critical information, helped get this critical information out to our families and businesses throughout the affected area. The numbers we have today look good, and we're finally at a point where the do not use order is being lifted in certain areas. In these specific areas, flushing can begin. We've made a lot of progress, but I ask all West Virginians to continue to be patient as we work to safely restore service to the affected areas. Now, some of the speakers after me today will be given some specific guidelines, and I think it's very important that you follow these guidelines so not to overtax the system and cause a breakdown. So, you know, the water will be coming back on, but it'll be done in a systematic way. At this time, I'd like to introduce General Hoyer, who will be given, first of all, the information on the tests that have been conducted over the overnight. General Hoyer.
Thank you, Governor. Over the period of total time that we've been involved with this situation, we've collected 692 samples to date. We have analyzed 264. Please don't take that to mean that we have a series of samples that we're that backlogged on. There's a series of things that go on relating to splitting samples and samples that don't have to be tested because another outlying area has been tested. But we have analyzed 264 samples to date. As the governor stated, based on the interagency team's assessment, we believe that it is appropriate in conjunction with public health and the West Virginia American Water Company to begin to lift the ban by zone. And in a moment, Mr. McIntyre will explain more specifics about that. Because of the trending of the results and the effects that we have seen, as well as an assessment of the hydrology of the system, it was determined in conjunction with the fact that we had tested last night and officially analyzed and sampled samples from taps at each of our hospitals in the area that at 10:15 this morning, Secretary Bowling coordinated with the CEOs of the hospitals to begin the flushing process. The reason that that was done prior to any official announcement being lifted was to ensure that we had the appropriate level of pressure and we had the appropriate level of time for our key emergency facilities to begin to start the process of coming back online. At 1200 today, the system has gone live, and Mr. McIntyre will explain to you the process for the zones as they begin to come up. The other key thing that the governor asked me to point out, we still have outlying areas that we must continue to test. We started from a center point at the water facility and are working our way out the system. So please, if your zone has not been called to be open yet, please do not open and follow the process. We're trying to manage both the contamination and ensure that it's flowed out of the system, but we're also trying the water company to manage the appropriate level of pressure in the system to make sure that we do this effectively and do not cause any problems throughout the system. At this time, I'll turn it over to Mr. McIntyre to give you more specifics about the process as it's gone live.
Thank you, General Hoyer. I am Jeff McIntyre, President of West Virginia American Water. For our customers out there, I have some important information, so if you have a pencil and pen handy, it will be useful in the next few minutes. The ban is being lifted in a strict methodical manner to help ensure water system is not overwhelmed by excessive demand, thereby causing more water quality and service issues. Zones have been established based on the flow of water from the treatment plant throughout the system. If all the customers in the entire system or even in small zones opened all their taps at the same time, they could use 10 to 20 times the water that we can produce in a day. They will affect critical health infrastructure, and they could have a deleterious effect on our industry in the area that not only need water quality, they need water pressure and water volume. So we're asking for strict adherence to the protocols. West Virginia American Water, along with the interagency team, are communicating the lift zones through a variety of sources, including an interactive web page where customers can enter their home or business address and see their water service status. We strongly encourage all customers with access to the website to use this tool first. This map is accessible at www.westvirginiaamwater.com. Customers are encouraged to regularly visit the map for updates. Yesterday, I indicated that the colors for the map were red for you're under a ban, do not use, and green for you're okay. It's actually blue. We changed it to blue because some people that are colorblind can't distinguish between red and green as well. In addition to the website, lift zone information is being provided to all media. To supplement the web-based map, automated phone calls using our customer database will be launched in coordination with lift zones. So we'll make automatic calls to people in the zones based on the phone numbers we have. A temporary local 24/7 hotline has been established. The number for that hotline is 855-390-4569. The hotline is for the exclusive purpose of helping customers in border areas gain clarification or for those who do not have access to the internet. Representatives will not be able to provide any other information other than the lift locations. All other questions should be directed to our customer service center, and the number for that location is 1-800-685-8660. Customers in lift zones will need to flush their home plumbing systems. West Virginia American Water is providing flushing guidance via its website, media, and call center. Only customers located within the zones that have been lifted should begin flushing. If we have problems with pressure in the system, we will not be able to open up additional zones until those pressures are restored. So you will extend the time of recovery. If you flush too early, you will cost yourself money and you will waste your effort because you'll be doing it before the water is safe. You may, at the end of the flushing protocol, which requires 20 minutes of flushing, still have a slight odor. But all test results in the lifted zones are below the health risk levels determined by the Center for Disease Control, which is one part per million. West Virginia American Water, again, is offering residential customers a credit of 1,000 gallons, which is more than what will likely be required to flush the average home. The average residential customer uses approximately 3,300 gallons per month. West Virginia American Water thanks all its customers for their patience and cooperation during this event, and we thank the governor for the interagency team. You know, it helped us to recover much quicker than we could have on our own. Thank you, sir. We remind customers that until their zone is announced, water should not be used for any purpose other than toilet flushing and firefighting. Alternative sources should be used for drinking, bathing, washing, preparation of food, and baby formula. I'd also like to take a few extra minutes if I could, because while we've been dealing with this situation in Charleston, there is also the material moving down through from the Elk to the Kanawha to the Ohio River. So I'd like to provide an update on the Huntington facility. West Virginia American Water is aware of and prepared for other potential impacts resulting from the chemical spill plume migrating downstream. We've been working with the state and federal officials, the Ohio River Valley Water Sanitation Commission, to model the plume to track the Elk River spill, along with a small spill that occurred in Belpre, Ohio earlier this week. We met today with our Sanco representatives to review test results. Water sampling continues on the Elk, Kanawha, and Ohio rivers to detect any evidence of chemical. We expect there will be considerable dilution in the rivers, that will work in our favor and mitigate the impact of the spill on the water in Huntington. We are regularly analyzing samples at the intake of the Huntington water treatment plant and in the finished water produced by the plant. Latest test results for early this morning indicated 0.031 parts per million at the intake and 0.006 parts per million in the finished water. Both results are well below the health risk level of 1 ppm determined by the Centers for Disease Control. We've brought additional chemists into the area to help with monitoring. Regarding the other chemical spill that I mentioned on the Ohio River, unrelated to the Charleston event, it happened about 120 miles upstream of the Huntington water treatment intake. We continue to track and monitor performance. We're confident that our Huntington plant existing treatment barriers are effective and sufficient to control this chemical, and our experts are also prepared to increase treatment if deemed necessary. Again, thank you, Governor.
Thank you. This time I would like to ask the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Resources, Karen Bowling, to come and speak regarding health aspects as it relates to the spill.
Thank you, Governor. I would also like to add my thanks to the citizens of West Virginia for their continued patience during the water crisis and emphasize the collaboration between state and local health departments. As mentioned earlier, we have allowed the two major health systems to begin the flushing process that started about 10:15, recognizing that is a process that will take hours. I'm getting an hourly update from the CEOs of those health systems to let us know how things are going, and I can tell you and report at this point in time, the only thing that they have seen is a slight odor, which we have expected. Other than that, things are going very well in the health systems, and the flushing process is working well for them. I would also like to point out that when we lift a zone, that there has been protocols developed for different facilities to be able to, whether it was a daycare facility or an eating establishment, to use other types of water. And until such time as the restriction has been lifted and the flushing has been completed, that remains in effect. So each of those institutions will need to check with their local health department to determine a time frame for going back to the regular water source for their customers, because there's a very extensive process that we'll go through for the flushing and cleansing as part of the protocols and guidelines that were developed. We also are working on a surveillance system, as we've talked about, to track our patients, anyone who's presented to the emergency rooms. I can update you on the hospital admissions. Right now, from the emergency room perspective, we've seen 231 patients have been reported in 10 different hospitals. We have 14 patients that have been admitted to four different hospitals. None of those patients are in critical conditions. No hospitals on diversions for related to this incident. Our poison control numbers have stabilized, and actually we've seen very few calls really from last night when I reported until now, only an additional 100 calls. So we're seeing some decline. I think the information that's getting out there has been very helpful for the public. Thank you, Governor.
Next, I'd like to call on our State Superintendent of Schools, Jim Ferris, to give us an update on what's going on with our school systems.
Superintendent. Thank you, Governor. First of all, let me preface my remarks by thanking students and parents and teachers and service personnel and county administrators for their cooperation through this crisis. I guess the best news that I could probably give is that the light's on now, parents, and we'll be trying to get those kids back in school as soon as possible. Kanawha County has personnel on standby right now as we speak, who, as their zones are lifted, will begin to cleanse their system and to clean their equipment. Putnam County is also in the same situation. However, they may be a little bit down the line in getting their zones opened up where they can cleanse. I have talked with Superintendent Hatfield, and he's putting in place a contingency plan to bring the kids in school tomorrow, to give them breakfast packs and lunch packs. They have sanitizers and water packs and everything available to the students. We feel optimistic that our two largest counties involved in this will be able to open tomorrow. Again, the timing on the opening of the zones will be dependent on whether Lincoln County and Boone County get back into school tomorrow. Again, everybody is hoping that that may happen. We're taking every step in working with all the other agencies involved in this to ensure the safety of your children. We are not going to rush them back to school if it's not safe, and I hope that all of you would understand that. The intent of every person that I've worked through since last Thursday, they all have children in the system. They are not going to clear this without those kids being safe. In our world, all means all, and that's all that all means. And we want to have assurances that every child, all children, will be safe when they return to school. Thank you.
I've just been informed that the map that's being put online by West Virginia American Water is still loading. Jeff, do you want to address or give us an update on that?
Yeah, Governor, what I can say is that we did not want to get out of ahead of this announcement, so we decided that we would start loading the map as we made this announcement. The mapping and the zones, and know where you are. If you're in the red, they should be. If you're in the blue.
Well, once again, thank everyone for your cooperation over the last several days. And, you know, please do follow these directions. It will help everyone get their water back on quicker. At this time, we'd be happy to take any questions that you may have. Yes, sir.
Can we talk a little bit about the protocol that people are supposed to do for flushing once they're in the blue zone?
That's online, too.
Yeah, that information is online and is available from a number of different sources. You can get that at our website, but it's essentially a three-step process. First, for flushing, turn on all your hot water taps and flush for 15 minutes and shut those taps back off. Turn on your cold water taps and flush for 5 minutes and then turn those off. Then go outside, do your outside taps, any fixtures that you have outside, and flush those for 5 minutes. So that'll give you the flushing, and then you can go to the additional information that we've provided, which will show you how to deal with dishwashers, clothes that you may have washed, dishes that you may have washed, ice makers, humidifiers, filter systems that you may have to replace your cartridges or backwash. So it's perfect to help people understand the types of appliances in their home. And it's developed to be straightforward, and it's also developed to be followed precisely. You know, if you do those steps and you still have an odor, don't keep flushing, because you may still have an odor. The odor threshold is 10 times lower than the health limit, and this is a mercaptan-type product, so it has an odor that dilutes down very low. So don't continue to flush. Do the timelines we've prescribed, and you're good to go.
Just let me, as a follow-up, just say that this information is, I think, on the governor's website, and also the Amy is passing out copies of the hard copies here. Yes, ma'am.
Ton of questions from viewers. It kind of goes along with the personal flushing process about how that will impact people's septic tanks and possibly the ground around their homes if flushing outside spigots. Will the chemical possibly get into their ground or septic tanks?
I'll ask Secretary Huffman to respond to that.
Randy Huffman, DEP. We've been working with the local public service districts to try to coordinate with them and make sure that they understand the increased flow, and we believe that the sewer treatment systems are going to be able to handle it. They expect it and know it's coming. I think if homeowners that are concerned about saturating their ground outside of their homes probably need to contact their local sanitarian or local county health department if they have questions or are uncertain about that.
Governor, how can we expect to help our elderly neighbors, people who are disabled, people who might not be able to flush their own systems when their zone is lifted?
Jimmy? Yes, sir. Call the local office works.
Right. If you have individuals that... Jimmy Jeanette with the Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. If we have individuals that need assistance, they can contact their local county emergency management office. We have volunteer agencies that are willing to help and go out, and we've been coordinating with them through the night so that they're available if something comes up that individuals need that. In addition, one other thing that we need to mention, Lincoln PSD customers that are not directly connected to West Virginia American Water can go ahead and resume using their water. They have been cleared by the health department as well.
Yes, sir.
For Mr. McIntyre, you know, this is West Virginia where, especially when you get in the outlying areas, you have some homes that may have like maybe 20 feet from the water tap. Others have several hundred feet. When they're flushing and the time you gave, does it matter? Should they flush longer?
We believe the flushing. We've worked with this entire interagency team to try to put together something that covers those situations as best we can. Obviously, you can have unique situations if people know they have a really long service line. They may want to flush a little bit longer. But again, don't flush to try to get rid of all the odor. But
they've been flushing their toilets, so they have been doing some natural flushing.
Yeah, and as we progress through the zones, the first zone, if I can describe it very briefly, is the area of downtown Charleston East. So it's bordered by the Kanawha River, the Elk River, moving along to the 35th Street Bridge. That's the first zone. That's not an exact description of the boundaries. But we've been pushing out water now into the system that meets the health standard for 48 hours plus. And then when people are using the toilets, they're pulling water through their system all the time. So that's been helping us to reduce flushing because we've been able to use our hydraulic model to understand where that clean water is and go check that it's there. And that's what we're finding, is where we expect it, that's where it is.
Now that the flushing process has started, what's the best case scenario for everybody being back up and running as normal?
That's a good question. And I think the best case scenario is hard to predict because it depends on the behavior of the people as they go live. If people don't follow the instructions and don't behave like we're instructing them to, it'll go longer. But I can't say. It could be still days before we have the entire system cleared. It's a very large, complex system.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. McIntyre, has West Virginia American Water conducted any sort of risk assessment since the spill to see what's further up the Elk River, if there's anything that could compromise the system again in the future, considering it wasn't known that Freedom Industries was there?
I wouldn't say it wasn't known that it was there. We're not doing any of that work at this time. There is no risk assessment going on at this time. Our focus is singular to getting the customers back into water as early as possible.
Okay. Mr. McIntyre, Kenny Bass, Eyewitness News. When do you plan on doing that risk assessment?
We do risk assessments as part of our corporate business every several years, and we will continue to follow that process at this time.
This week, next week? I mean, are there things upstream of you need to be aware of, and the chemicals they have, so you can develop testing protocols and filtration systems to try to avoid what this happened?
I mentioned our treatment plant was designed for this. We have an advanced treatment plant that's designed for these types of focus is on getting the water back. We're not spending any effort, and I don't know when the next cycle will be.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. By all accounts, there's been very little research done on this chemical. So what can you say to assure people that the water, once y'all say it's safe, will be safe in the short term and in the long term?
We're relying on the advice and guidance of the CDC.
Yes.
But I think the question is, after this, and you've had very little government oversight of the contamination tanks. You had within a mile and a half a hazardous chemical that you didn't even know how to test for. Going forward, why should the people of West Virginia have confidence that their tap water supply is safe if you don't know what's around you?
Our water treatment plant is an advanced treatment plant. It has the top-notch treatment systems that you can with activated carbon caps and powder activated carbon. And the levels in the raw and the finished water are getting non-detect levels. question where there wasn't containment in this material. I think people forget that this aware of anything else upstream at this time that's similar in nature, and we don't see any additional risk to our treatment plant.
Okay, this one in the back here has that question.
Is there any potential for the chemical in the water to react to any health?
That's a good question. It's a question I can't answer, but we've not been advised of any such concern.
Jeff, can you say with certainty that there will be no chemical residue in our hot water tanks, in our pipes after we flush?
If you're asking for certainty, I can't provide that. But it's, as I've said a number of times, it's highly soluble in water.
And also, what if we are not home at the time when our zone is being lifted? A lot of people are at work right now. If we go home after, say, zone two is starting, can we flush or...
zone is live, you can flush. So if you go home later, start your flushing at your earliest convenience.
Can someone say if any of the chemical is still leaching into the water and give us just a general update of what the site looks like at this point?
Yeah, to the best we can tell, the material is not leaching into the water. We have we're maintaining booms, absorber booms, tight against the shoreline up there, and they're coming out clean. We're having them aggressively monitored, and we're not getting even a smell off those booms right now. We do have a big rain coming, and our focus up there right now is pumps, trucks to haul the water out. Our focus right now is to maintain the material, the status as it is.
You say you were pulling water out of the site, water that could be contaminated right now at the area?
No, we're bringing trucks in and pump extra pumps. We have containment ditches out there to pump the water back out of there into these trucks so that no more water gets off site.
To further answer the question, over 90, Lieutenant Colonel Grant informed me that over 90% of the test on the intake to the plant have shown levels close to zero. So to answer the question regarding is there any more leaching, the test results on the intake of the plant are demonstrating that the remediation process is working.
Mr. McIntyre, I have a question about your web, the man. Ken is asking.
Yes.
Did you upgrade your servers or do anything for the anticipated surge in traffic, or do you anticipate that there'll be delays and problems with the page loading, with I'm sure will be enormous demand once that map goes online?
Yeah, we're using a system that our larger parent company, American Water, uses in other states. It's designed for reverse 9/11 type of dialing, and it scales up based on use. It's
across the state of similar type facilities where we have storage only and no chemical processes or manufacturing processes that would otherwise warrant a permit. And so that inventory is taking place. And then we're also, at the governor's request, developing some proposals for how we might more properly regulate these facilities in order to minimize the risk of a spill. Again, what we're doing at DEP is just about minimizing the risk of a spill. It's not an emergency. Here may be able to speak to that.
With giving a 1,000-gallon credit to the consumers, what about their sanitation bill as well?
Unfortunately, I can't. For the sanitary district. secretary of districts if they want us to do something to help them adjust bills, but it's their decision as to how they bill their customers.
And just as a follow-up to that, we have made contact with PSDs and some towns, you know, asking them if they would be willing to also do something. But that's strictly up to each individual entity. Yes, ma'am.
So this might be a question for Secretary Huffman or for Mr. Dorsey, but we keep hearing at these press conferences you say that this chemical is soluble, but I think a lot of our viewers are also hearing you say that you don't know enough about this chemical, that we didn't know enough initially. So can you tell us what information you guys are getting to base that statement on, that it is water soluble?
I think we can just generally speak to that. We go by the MSDS sheets, typically referred to as the material safety data sheets. Those are produced on all chemicals. They're required to be in every facility. Anyone who handles chemicals, there's a sheet that identifies information about the chemical. We had that sheet, so we know what the identification of the factors, and that's how we got into the irritation, nausea, vomiting, those type of things. That was sort of the safety factors that are already known about that. So many chemicals, there's unknowns. And this is one of those that we go by specifically what is on that sheet that identifies the safety factors, and that's really the information that we rely on.
Just ask General Hoyer, is the team of chemists working with the National Guard, do they agree that it's a water-soluble substance?
Yes.
That how they're working?
Yes, they do. The other thing I'd point out related to that, every member of the interagency team that's doing the test and analysis and working this process has family members and loved ones that live in this area. So one of the overarching things, in addition to the science of what our folks are doing, is the fact that we owe a responsibility to the citizens of the state and our families to provide the best information we have, as Secretary Bowling says, based on the information that's available.
Okay. Do you have any further information on exactly how long the chemical was leaking before it was reported to the media? Because there seems to be some inconsistency on that.
I asked Randy to come up here, but yeah, obviously one of the things about this chemical, it does have the odor in there that smells like black licorice. So that was first reported at 8:15 on Thursday morning. So, you know, that's one of the indicators that that it is exposed to the air, and that's the primary reason for having that. You know, I don't know if we can speak to exactly when, and Mike, do you have any additional information on that?
I can only add, Governor Mike Dorsey again, West Virginia DEP, that we know that there was a significant leak based on the odor Thursday morning. Was there a slow leak in there that didn't get to where we would smell it above the ground? We don't know that yet. We, in the fullness of time, will probably come to a conclusion on that, but we just don't know that now. The best we can say is that when the odor became apparent Thursday morning is when we know we had a problem.
As water is flushed from fire hydrants, does that water pose any risk to wildlife or ground contamination or any plant life that may be in the area of the fire hydrants?
Randy Huffman, DEP. We are not aware of any adverse impacts that this water has the potential to cause, and certainly in the kinds of concentrations that we're looking at, we are not concerned about that at all. Right. Yes. Yes, sir. No problems with fish kills. No other impact to the aquatic life or to wildlife or anything or plant life. Yes.
Given what has happened here, do you think that there's a need to push for maybe a setback for some of these chemical plants or storage facilities that are near a water supply river?
Yes. Randy could address that. His department has already started that process.
Yes, as we look at possible legislative fix, if you will, for lack of a better word to this, one of the things that will go into that is a setback. And a setback, primarily what a setback does is it provides you an bond. it gives you enough distance between the potential risk and the and go in and to respond with some kind of remediation or some kind of emergency response. Whereas in the case that we're talking about with the mile, that did not give very much time to respond.
One last question.
Going back to what Secretary Bowling said about the MSDS sheets, doesn't the MSDS sheet for this chemical have huge gaps in information? Like, it doesn't say whether it's a carcinogen or what the long.
In all of our conversations with the CDC, it's like any chemical that, again, that's out there. There are many chemicals that involve the specifics, and so we have to rely on what is already known about and what's been tested about this particular chemical. And in all of our conversations with the CDC, and we're involved with the epidemiologists and all the individuals that are the experts in this area, there has been no indication that anything other than what we're doing is proper, meaning that what we're doing is what we are doing based on what we know to be true, that this is a proper process for ensuring the safety, and that's our job, the safety and well-being of the people here in the state of West Virginia, and we're following all the processes that have been outlined to ensure that happens, and that includes analysis of the chemical, but again, there are unknowns, but what we do know, we feel to ensure the safety of the water.
Okay. Kitty.
Mr. McIntyre, just very briefly, colloquially, I'm getting a lot of texts and messages. The website isn't showing up with any colors. It's not loading. What's your advice to people if they're having a problem reaching this website?
I've generally described the area of the first zone, and it's fairly well contained between inside, well within inside those boundaries, you know that you're good to go at this point. If you think that you're on the edge of that or you're not sure or comfortable, call our toll-free hotline, and they will be able to tell you whether you are or not.
Don't panic. You can't reach the website right away.
I don't think there's anyone who should panic at this point because we're trying to open this system back up over time. It's not like you have to do it now or you can't do it in a half hour.
Bandwidth as we speak because of the amount of folks that are coming in.
So, Mr. McIntyre, when you're in the zone and you flush, when you're in a green lighted zone and you flush your home system, that's it. There's no additional advisory, nothing to boil the water, anything like that. You're good to go.
Certainly, boil water doesn't apply, but there's several steps. There's the flushing, and then it's your appliances and fixtures. So if you have filters, if you have a dishwasher, an ice maker, there are additional steps depending on what you may have in your house. But once you've finished our protocol, which is laid out on several pages, once you're done, you're done.
Okay. Thank you all very much, and we will continue to get information out as it becomes available to us.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich. We just heard from the governor, Earl Ray Tomlin, who says that water service has been restored to a few places, but he does urge that folks in surrounding areas wait until they have the all clear. Until your zone has been cleared, there are available water sources in the areas affected. You can find them at wvfindwater.com. The governor's office has also compiled a list of water distribution sites on his website. You can find that list at governor.wv.gov. For information on flushing online, the website that West Virginia American Water has provided to its customers is westvirginiaamwater.com, and the zone and flushing information number is 1-855-390-4569. Once again, 1-855-390-4569. And again, the website is westvirginiaamwater.com. Meanwhile, the U.S. Chemical Safety Board has been deployed to Charleston to investigate the chemical spill at Freedom Industries along the Elk River on Thursday. Kanawha County Commissioner Kent Carper and U.S. Senator Jay Rockefeller called on that agency for the investigation. Once again, water is beginning to be restored in some areas being affected by the chemical leak from Thursday. Again, the website for West Virginia American Water is westvirginiaamwater.com, and the zone and flushing information number 1-855-390-4569. We now return to Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keeler. Reporting for West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Dave Mistich.